My guest at this time is New Jersey Republican Congressman Chris Smith. He represents the Garden State's 4th Congressional District and is known as one of the most ardent and strongest pro-life voices in the U.S. House of Representatives. He joins me now after returning from the March for Life across the National Mall to the Supreme Court, and he spoke at the rally prior to the march as usual. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us today.
Greg, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Year after year, this draws tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. What did you sense as the mood out there and the main message from the crowd?
Well, the mood is very optimistic. And again, like last year, there's a growing number of young people. Matter of fact, there was a Marist poll that came out yesterday that found that 71% of the millennials do not want funding being used for taxpayers, taxpayer funding is being used for abortion. And I see it everywhere I go. The young people are more pro-life. They're demanding changes in the laws. And today was another manifestation of that, and that is that bodes well for the future.
Congressman, obviously the rally happened just in the wake of what seemed to be a lot of confusion on the floor and behind the scenes in the House of Representatives. There was supposed to be a vote today on the pain-capable unborn child abortion bill, and essentially that would ban abortions before 20 weeks. There was a big frustration, a debate over the rape exception. There was one, a rape exception, but there would have to have been evidence of a police report filed about that rape. How did this break down, and how disappointed are you that this isn't happening today?
Well, first, we did pass the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, and I have to tell you, Greg, that is huge. We're talking about Obamacare, where we are now, the U.S. taxpayer, subsidizing over 1,000 insurance plans that pay for abortion on demand. This would end that. It would also make permanent the different restrictions we have, like the Hyde Amendment, that have to be renewed every single year. And it also provides more transparency because the Obama White House has no transparency whatsoever. People are buying insurance plans today. They don't have a clue that they're being compelled, forced, to pay for abortion on demand through that plan. But getting abortion out of Obamacare is a huge struggle. We had hoped to bring up the pain-capable Child Protection Act, Unborn Child Protection Act, but there was some pushback, but pushback that I think that will lead to another day where we get a bill that there will be a unity and a rallying around, and I am certain that I am certain that the bill will be up very soon, and we will have the pro-life women who are really like the cavalry in coming over the into this fight, articulate, compassionate, and everyone else in the caucus, the Republican caucus, and the two pro-life Democrats that remain in the House voting for this legislation, and we will win it. You know, what we had yesterday in the beginning of that debate, it was such a revelation to see how the other side, the abortion rights side, can't come to grips with the fact that dismemberment abortions cause hideous pain. A child hurts as his or her arms and legs, and ultimately they are decapitated by the abortionist, and they just paper over that. They say it's not true, even though the evidence is overwhelming that the child feels pain at least at the 20-week point and probably before. So there's a culture of denial in the abortion movement that we're trying to expose, because these little children deserve better than being so mistreated. And when it comes to some of the kids who may have disabilities, children with disabilities, how dare we suggest that you kill a baby painfully or any other way because he or she has Down syndrome or some other anomaly that they're coping with? That is cruelty of the highest order. And I thought the debate yesterday, because we did begin that debate yesterday, just was the harbinger of what is going to be a further expose of the human rights violating abortion rights movement. You know, this is Gosnell all over the, remember Victor Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist, who was literally snipping the spines of little babies, putting them in jars, and he also killed women as well as babies. And he was an abortionist in good standing with all the groups and throughout. And he did thousands of these later term abortions. And again, those kids felt pain as well. So there's you know, the people are becoming more enlightened, but again, I couldn't be happier that the young people are trending more and more and more and more pro-life.
Let's get back to the legislation that passed today, Congressman, the banning of taxpayer funds for abortion. Of course, during the Obamacare debate, the initial House bill that passed included a ban on that. It was taken out in the final version, but the president signed an executive order that he said would make sure that that got covered. Do Democrats now admit that that executive order effectively did nothing, or what's their reaction now to the fact
that... it's almost like being in an Orwellian theater sometimes when you hear some of the members speak. There were people standing on the floor today saying that there's no federal funding for abortion in Obamacare. And yet the General Accountability Office, which is a government watchdog, they're the auditors who usually ferret out what's right and what's wrong, whether or not money is being spent for this or that, on a whole variety of areas. They came back and said 1,036 Obamacare insurance plans pay for abortion on demand. The subsidies come into the insurance company, and it's paid for. Under the Hyde Amendment, it has always been that any insurance plan can't be subsidized with any kind of federal dollars. Well, we're giving huge tax subsidies to people to buy these plans. Money is flowing in by the billions, and even more so going in the out years. So you and I and other taxpayers are paying for the largest abortion payments ever. I mean, so the bill would say that's not going to be the case anymore. And it also applies even to federal employees, members of Congress in this case. We have plans that we have to buy under Obamacare, and almost all of them pay for abortion on demand. I did an amendment that's still in effect for government employees, but not Obamacare, in 1983. And Obamacare violates that as well. Not to get too much in the weeds, but the Office of Personnel Management can't even administer a policy that has abortion on demand in it. They're administering dozens of such policies. So everywhere you look, what President Obama said when he came and spoke to a joint session of Congress in September of 2009, under our plan, no federal funds will be used to pay for abortion, quote unquote, was a lie. I mean, he stood, and I even said on the floor, I was 6 feet away from the podium where he gave that speech, and it is absolutely untrue. Equally so, when he did his executive order to get Bart Stupak and some of the other pro-life Democrats, he said, look, all of our plan will comport with the Hyde Amendment on no federal funding for abortion. And again, that is absolutely, demonstrably untrue. And after a while, you know, how many times do you tell a lie and people say, well, I guess maybe he's telling the truth? Well, he's not. And we saw that with, you know, if you like your plan, you can keep it, which was the PolitiFact lie of the year of 2013. Obamacare has a lot of lies to it. You know, a lot of things that were said that are turning out to be unbelievably untrue. Well, when it comes to abortion funding, this is the biggest and most massive funding of abortion in America's history.
Real quick question before we let you go. We know you've got to run, Congressman, but it's not just taxpayer dollars going to those insurance plans. You made a little bit of news late last year by pointing out that taxpayer dollars are also going to organizations affiliated with China's one-child policy.
Oh, yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, the Obama administration continues to fund the UN Population Fund, which since the beginning of the one-child per couple policy, with its heavy reliance on forced abortion and forced sterilization, since 1979, this government, not under Reagan, not under Bush, not under the second Bush, W., but under Clinton and now under President Obama, lavishly funds this organization that has extolled the one-child per couple policy, defends it, whitewashes it, and on the ground actually is a part of it. And that is a huge attack on women's rights because these women are forcibly aborted. The suicide rate in China is about 600 women per day. There's no number like that anywhere on earth, and the ratio of men women having, you know, committing suicide is completely reversed. It's more women in China than men, and that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. They are exploiting their women, and the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, has been the enabler-in-chief. Obama is giving them $35 million of our taxpayer dollars to enable that. And then many of the pro-abortion organizations are getting hundreds of millions of dollars globally to promote abortion and to promote the abortion agenda overseas. One of the first things Obama did, as did Clinton on his second day, same thing with President Obama, was to reverse what we call the Mexico City policy. That policy, announced at a UN conference in 1984 by Ronald Reagan, said that we will not support any organization that supports or provides abortions in the developing world. Well, Obama got rid of that, so groups like Planned Parenthood and others are now getting huge amounts of U.S. taxpayer dollars to promote the abortion agenda all around the world. And, I mean, it's like, you know, money is policy. When you fund these organizations, you pay their paychecks, and they work 24/7. They become the lobbyists in foreign capitals. We're enabling abortion, and Obama is the abortion president. It's just, you know, you look at who makes up his key leadership, particularly over at some of the places like Health and Human Services, and it is filled to overflowing with pro-abortionists. Wendy Sherman, the number three person in the U.S. Department of State, was the Emily's List director before she got into government, first under Clinton and now under Obama. I mean, so that's where these people are derived from. That's what they're, you know, where they worked formerly on behalf of these abortion organizations, and now they're in the government promoting the global abortion push, and in China, the hideous one child per couple.
Congressman, we know you have to run. Thank you so much for being with us today, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Great. Thank you very much.
New Jersey Republican Congressman Chris Smith represents his state's 4th Congressional District. One of the most prominent pro-life voices in the U.S. House of Representatives, has been for more than 3 decades now. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.